WIAM 91, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock. CBS News. President Ford talked tonight about the resignation of President Tu.
Our government made no direct request that President Tu step down. There was no pressure by me or anyone in Washington in that regard.
I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS radio network. However, in an interview on CBS, Mr. Ford did not deny the possibility of American pressure in Saigon.
There may have been some on the scene in Saigon who may have talked to President Tu, but there was no pressure from here to force President Tu to step down, and he made, I'm sure, the final decision all on his own.
President Tu, in his resignation speech, criticized the United States. That criticism was returned tonight by Democratic Senator Walter Mondale of Minnesota.
He had a corrupt government. The stories of him trying to get 17 tons, I think, of gold out of the country the other day may tell a lot about what's been going on. He refused to in any way broaden his government. He closed down most of the newspapers. Those who criticized him went to jail. Above all, I don't think we have to be lectured by him about freedom. If there's one thing that he didn't believe in, it was freedom.
Senator Mondale, more after this.
Oh, Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
President Ford confirmed tonight the United States is sending additional Marines into the South Pacific to bring the units there up to full strength. About 5,000 Marines are now available on standby Vietnam evacuation duty. The latest group will leave shortly from Hawaii, as Art Shockwell of station KHVH reports.
A World Airways 747 jet will leave here in about 3 hours with more than 400 Marines aboard, apparently bound for Okinawa. About 440 Marines left earlier on two other jets. The troops make up the major portion of a Marine battalion of nearly 1,000 men put on alert last Friday. Military sources here say the troops will be used as replacements for troops already moved out of Okinawa for a possible American evacuation of Saigon. The troops here were wearing fatigue uniforms and carrying M16 rifles and flak jackets. Late last week, the Pacific Military Commander, Admiral Noel Geiler, made a quick trip to Saigon, where it's believed he finalized plans for the evacuation. Nearly 3,000 Americans remain in the South Vietnamese capital. Art Shotwell for CBS News, Hickam Air Force Base, Hawaii.
President Ford was critical of Congress tonight for not providing additional military aid to Saigon. The House Appropriations Committee Monday approved $330 million in aid to South Vietnam, split almost evenly between military and economic assistance. Chairman George Mahon of Texas explains why the congressional reluctance.
The thing that has inhibited members from supporting aid to Vietnam, military and otherwise, is that it has appeared that we would have to go on from year to year to year to year to year, and people are tired of the war. Americans are, and members of Congress are, and they're tired of these huge expenditures in the light of conditions at home. But in view of the fact that this is a temporary thing, a non-continuing thing, it takes on a different complexion.
More after this.
Take stock in America. Look what we've done. 200 years behind us and we're walking in the sun. We're going and we're growing, taking stock in our land by buying U.S. savings bonds through the payroll savings plan. Take stock in America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds and keep us going strong. Stock in America, join in our song, stock up on U.S. savings bonds, and keep us going strong.
A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
On other matters, the president warned of problems in the Middle East.
I think we have to, in this very difficult situation, where the possibility of war is certainly a serious one. If you have a war, you're inevitably going to have an oil embargo. I think we have to be very cautious in our process of reassessment.
I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness with occasional rain tomorrow, showers tomorrow night and Wednesday. The highs in the low 50s and lows in the low 40s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 48 degrees. The barometer steady at 29.83. And taking a brief look at sports and Major League Baseball activity today in the American League, New York over Boston 12-1. Kansas City down Chicago. No, that's wrong. Kansas City and Chicago was rained out, as was Baltimore at Milwaukee. In the National League, San Diego beat Houston 4-0. Los Angeles edged Atlanta 2-1. And San Francisco 4, Cincinnati 3. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next at 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. This time, a mystery, a puzzle, if you will, which I challenge you to solve. As with all mysteries worthy of the name, each clue will be honestly and plainly presented to you. And yet, unless I miss my guess, the answer to the puzzle will elude you till the very end. We'll play a game of wits, you and I, just for the fun of it, and see who wins. Unhappily, one of the characters you'll meet lost.
I found the shrunken head on the pillow of my bed, and that clock points to 12. That means I die at 12.
Question is, Elizabeth, dear, 12 what?
12 what?
12 noon or 12 midnight.
Drum clock. 12 o'clock. Noon.
Maybe you'll be dead on the stroke of 12, Elizabeth. And maybe you'll have to wait till midnight. Our mystery drama, Sting of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars William Prince. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself. loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of the ears.
When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, when's the last time you made a wish?
I wish I could get an angiometry.
I wish for a place to live.
I wish I was in Omaha with my grandmother and grandfather.
Wishing is very important, you know.
I think I wish for all the children in the world to be well and healthy and have enough to eat.
I wish I could lose 100 pounds.
I wish I had a bike.
My wish is for good health.
Wishing means you hope for better things.
I wish we could find solutions to the crime problem.
I wish that we win every soccer game in our league.
I wish, and I really wish, the price of food would go down.
If you want hope, you've got to make a wish.
If I have one wish, it's to understand my children.
I wish that everything works out between my boyfriend and me.
I just wish for a job.
I wish all the lost children would come home to their fathers.
Because without a wish, there can be no hope.
Yeah, I wish there were more love and truth and less loneliness in the world.
From the Franciscans, with love.
My first move is to describe the huge barn-like living room of the country home of Trevor Costain, explorer, adventurer, author. And the living room reflects the trophies of his travels. On the north wall, headdresses of native tribal chiefs from all over the world. The south wall is covered with awards, trophies. The west wall is hung with native spears, shields, primitive weapons. And on the east wall, above the huge fireplace, hangs a clock, a most bizarre clock. The face is made of a Tuggeri war shield. Headhunters, you know, the Tuggeri. The hands of the clock are made of, human thigh bones. And the hours, from 1 to 12, are marked by shrunken human heads. Well, don't look so horrified. I told you the Tuggeri were headhunters. And when I told you that, I gave you your first important clue. See what you can do with it.
Liz, give me another drink.
Trevor, the doctor.
I know, but if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy.
Dad, the disease. You know what alcohol does to you because of it?
I'm in enough pain, Flurry. Stop calling me Dad.
He is your son-in-law, Father.
Don't remind me, Jackie. Liz, that drink, please. Some son-in-law. Some husband. An alcoholic who's put you through purgatory since the day you married him.
That's ended now. I haven't had a drink since I joined AA 5 weeks ago.
I wish I could believe that.
You can.
Oh, Flurry. Here's your drink, Trevor.
Thanks.
Oh, Father, you're not going to smoke, too.
Did I say I was going to smoke?
Well, every time you pick up one of your pipes...
Oh, don't worry, Jackie. Whatever disease hit me in Borneo years ago, just a whiff of tobacco sickens me. Give my right arm to be able to smoke these pipes again, but all I can do is polish them, clean them, puff on them, never light them. It's a terrible way to live. I'll be glad when I'm dead.
Oh, don't say that, Trevor.
You sound as if you'll be sorry when I'm gone, Liz.
I will be.
Why lie to me, Liz? Our marriage has been anything but a happy one. We put each other through the ringer the way our long-haired son-in-law put Jackie through one. Different kind of ringer, that's all.
Well, that's over now.
Everything's over. For me.
Oh, Father, please don't get up. If you want anything,
got
just...
Got to get up and ease the pain. Just want to get those pipe cleaners on the mantle and... Oh, blast.
You dropped your drink. All over me, I'm afraid.
Sorry. Spasm of pain.
I'll make you another.
I'll have to change these pants.
Father, sit down. I'll get the pipe cleaners.
Oh, I can't do a thing for myself anymore. A thing. Jackie, what about the divorce?
Well, I've given Forry... Here. Here, the pipe cleaners. I've given Forry another chance.
Waste of time. You know that?
It's probably hopeless, but... In common decency, I can't let him down. He depends on me, Father.
A weakling. He's a weakling.
Well, some men are.
Not Rod Champion. He was a man for you. I told you that.
Your drink.
Thanks. Rod will be here tomorrow, Jackie. Gonna spend a few days helping me straighten out my affairs. Why don't you and he try to get together? See if you can still hit it off.
Father.
He's the... What the devil?
What?
The clock. That headhunter clock over the fireplace. Look at it.
That's strange. One of those awful shrunken heads is missing.
The one that marked the hour of 7.
Oh, Father, what happened to it?
I don't know. I just noticed it was missing this minute. Look around. See if it's on the floor.
Oh, if it is, I'd just as soon...
Look around, I said. I can't.
All right, dear. All right.
Jackie, you looked and see if...
What? That was Forry. Something's happened.
Good heavens, what could...
I don't know.
Look at this. Look at this. Look. The head off the clock.
Oh.
What are you doing with it?
It was on the pillow of my bed.
Your pillow?
It was just lying there, smack in the middle of the pillow.
Forry, this some kind of gag? Did you take it off the clock?
Well, why would I do a thing like that?
I don't know. But then I don't know why you've done a lot of things you've done.
Dad, I tell you, I...
All right, all right. We'll put it back on the clock. The hour of 7.
Yeah, sure. Somebody's playing games. Somebody with a sick sense of humor. And I... Oh. Oh!
Forry, what? Father! Catch him, he's falling! Forry!
Get away, Jackie! Let me see.
Is he...
Dead? Yes.
Drum clock in the hall. It's 7 o'clock. The shrunken head. The hour of 7. Forry found it in his room, on his pillow. And now he's dead. What does it mean? What...
Yes? Well, this is Trevor Castain. I see. Yes. Well, I want to be informed the minute you find out. Fine. Goodbye.
Who is that?
The coroner's office. I've been bugging them all through the night to tell me what killed that husband of yours.
And?
We just wanted to let me know. They're starting the autopsy now.
Oh.
Jackie?
Yes, Father.
We've never pulled any punches with each other, you and me, so don't let's pull any now. You really sorry Forry's dead?
What a thing to ask.
What's the answer?
I don't know. Marriage to Forry was purgatory, as you said last night, but he was starting a new life, joining AA, and... Oh, it isn't fair somehow.
Not to him, maybe. But it's very fair to you.
What do you mean?
You can do what you should have done in the first place. You can marry Roger.
Oh, Father, you're taking an awful lot for granted.
You love him, don't you?
Yes, I guess I do, but...
No buts about it. When Roger gets here... Hey, sounds like he's here. Come on, let's meet him at the door.
Are you strong enough to walk?
Sure. Having a good day. Come on. Can't wait to see him. Best safari manager I ever had. Never took any guff from me either. Didn't have to. He's a fine man, Jackie. Fine man.
Hey, Trevor. Jackie. Good to see you.
Rod, you old son of a gun. I can't tell you how good it is to... Who's this?
Trevor, Jackie, meet Virginia, my wife.
You've no idea.
No idea at all what killed Forick?
Well, they're doing the autopsy now, Raj. Dr. Dodd is a friend of mine. You'll let me know what they come up with as soon as they know. Help yourself to a drink, Raj.
Well, thanks. You?
No, almost lunchtime. I have to limit myself. Can't even smoke. And with 3 months or less to live. Hell of a way to go out. Oh, hand me those pipe cleaners, will you?
Yeah. Here you are. At least you get some satisfaction from fooling around with these old pipes of yours.
Yes. Kind of makes not smoking a little easier. You know, Raj, you shocked me when you arrived with a wife.
How come?
I had plans for you and Jackie.
I was in love with Jackie, yes, but when she married Forry, well, that was that. Ginny's a wonderful girl, and she'll be a wonderful wife.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of Jackie and Virginia, they ought to be back from their walk soon. It's almost... Now, what in blazes?
What is it?
The clock. Look at the clock.
A head's missing. From 12.
Now, what does this mean?
Well, probably nothing at all. Probably just fell off.
It didn't just fall off. And don't bother looking for it on the floor. Someone took that head off the clock, Raj. And unless I miss my guess, it means someone else is going to die.
Oh, I can't believe that there's any significance.
Oh, Father. Roger. Is something wrong?
Jackie, your mother's still asleep in her room, worn out after last night. Better get her down here.
Why? What's happened?
A head is missing from the clock again, this time from the hour of 12.
Oh, no.
If it means another death... Well, never mind. Wake your mother up and tell her to come down here with...
Liz, stay here. All of you, I'll handle this.
Father, when did you discover this head missing?
Just now. Seconds before you and Virginia came back from your walk.
But, Father, you don't think it means... It can't mean another...
I'm afraid it could.
Easy, Elizabeth. Oh. Trev... She woke up a minute ago to find this beside her on the pillow.
The shrunken head. Oh, Mother. Oh, am I going to die? Is that what it means? That I'm going to die the way Forry did? Oh, of course not. 12 o'clock. My head is missing from 12 o'clock. I'm going to die at 12. I know I'm going to die at 12.
Question is, 12 noon or 12 midnight?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Well, you'd better.
Oh, how can you be so callous? That head. That shrunken head. You put it on my pillow.
What?
It would be just like you to do something crazy like this. Because you're sick, Trevor.
Mother,
he is sick. I don't know how he killed Forry. Before our eyes, yours and mine, killed him. But he did. And he's going to do it again. This time to me.
Take it easy, Elizabeth. You,
When? When is he going to do it? That's the only question now. The only question that interests me. When, Trevor? 12 noon? 12 midnight? I don't mind dying, but I can't bear not knowing when. Tell me, Trevor. Tell me.
A dramatic scene. And an intriguing one, don't you think? If I were you, I wouldn't at this moment be asking, was Forry murdered? And will Elizabeth meet the same fate? But if Forry was, and she does, how? I'll return in a minute for Act Two.
Hi, this is Pearl Bailey.
My voice is my business, and I'm going to use it today to give you an important message. I'm asking you, join forces with Save the Children Federation. Needy children at home and abroad, give these children a chance, honey, for a better life. Together, we can fight poverty and its attendant ills. Through SAVE, you can help a child in the Southern Appalachian Mountains stay in school, help an American Indian child and his family combat that high disease and mortality and unemployment rates, help children in the inner cities. You can help even a community in Columbia build a school to give broader opportunity to all the children. There's no limit to the ways in which you and Save the Children Federation can work together and make a better world. Write Save the Children Federation, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children Federation, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. God bless you and thank you very much.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy, who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as the fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
At this moment, you have all the clues you need. In fact, all the clues you're going to get, because that's all there are to answer the riddle of how Foray Prescott died. And, oh, let's face it, it is murder. And who killed him? If it comes to that, who will murder Elizabeth and how? For surely she, too, is going to die.
9, 10... 11. 12.
Oh, catch her. She's falling.
I've got her. Elizabeth?
I'm all right.
Oh, Mother, thank heaven you're alive.
So you see, my dear Elizabeth, I didn't murder you after all.
Oh. Only because you mean to prolong the agony, Trevor. Now I must wait till midnight.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
You can simply leave. Get out of here now.
Yes, Mother, you can do that. I'll drive you to town. You could stay at the motel. Or if you want, I'll take you to New York. You could... No.
But, Elizabeth, if you're afraid of being murdered at midnight...
Then let it be at midnight. Get it over with.
It's crazy. You know, all this talk about murder. You, all of you. You're assuming Foray was murdered when you don't even know what he died of. For all you know, he could simply have dropped dead. A heart attack. Cerebral hemorrhage. Why have you assumed, the three of you, you, Jackie, you, Trev, you, Elizabeth, why have you assumed from the start that Foray was murdered?
But if he wasn't, Raj, what's the meaning behind the shrunken head? We discovered the head was missing from the hour of 7 on that awful clock above the fireplace. And then Foray found it on the pillow of his bed, and Foray died at exactly 7 o'clock.
This time a head is missing from 12, and it's on the pillow of my bed, where I found it when I woke up from my nap.
Hello? Oh, hello, Ed. Dr. Dodd, the coroner. I see. Mm-hmm. Well, how long will that take? Will you let me know? Thanks, Ed. Thanks very much.
What did Dr. Dodd say, Father?
Foray was murdered.
No!
The autopsy revealed poison in the body tissues.
What kind of poison?
Well, they don't know yet. Ed's sending a tissue sample to the New York Police Lab to find out. No doubt
About it now, though, Flurry was murdered.
As you will murder me at midnight.
Darling, let's sit down a few minutes before we go back.
Oh, Rog, I just had to get away from that awful atmosphere in that house.
Huh, look, sweetheart, I'll be more than happy to take you back to New York.
And then come back by yourself? Oh, no.
Oh, I'd be safe enough, I think.
From whom?
What?
I'm not thinking of the murderer, sweetheart. I'm thinking of the danger you'd be in, and I'd be in from a very attractive and decidedly sexy Jacqueline.
I owe it to Trevor to help him all I can with his records, papers, Lord knows what. Help him get them in order before he dies.
Rog, what do you make of all this? Who do you think murdered Trevor's son-in-law?
I don't know. Could be Trevor. He hated Fari, but then it could be Jackie. She hated him, too.
What about Mrs. Costain? Elizabeth?
I know what you mean. That shrunken head on her pillow, she could have put it there.
Yeah.
A red herring, a blind. Something to throw the police off the scent when they get here.
The police will come again, you think?
Well, sure. I'd say all they're waiting for is a toxicology report on whatever poison killed Fari, and that can come any minute, any hour. It's almost five. I guess we've been gone at least a couple of hours. I guess we'd better think of getting back. Ginny, you're sure now? You don't want me to take you back to New York?
Uh-uh.
You're a brave little girl who deserves a kiss.
I'm a scared little girl. But don't let that stop you.
Don't tell me what to do, Jackie. If I want to change my will, I'll change it. In fact, my attorneys are changing it right now. Well, damn it, don't look at me as if I'd done some terrible thing to you. Or maybe you misunderstood me.
No, I didn't misunderstand. You're cutting Mother off and leaving your fortune to me. Why?
Plain enough. I want to be sure you're financially safe and secure.
Oh, no, Father. There's more behind it than that. You know as well as I do Mother would take good care of me, share what she has with me.
You don't know her like I know her.
Oh, I know her better than you. I've spent my life with her. You've spent yours elsewhere.
I'm an explorer, or I was.
Oh, you could have spent more time with her.
I don't tolerate fools easily.
Well, we've got off the subject. What's your real reason for changing the will? All right. Let me tell you. You're still hoping I'll marry Roger Campion. You're hoping that if I'm an heiress, the money will help induce him to divorce Virginia and marry me.
You said it, not me.
Well, you think it. You must. I can't think of any other reason for changing your will. Oh, Father, Roger and I are through with each other.
If only you hadn't married Fari. Damn.
Well, if you'd put a break on your temper, you wouldn't break so many of those pipe stems.
One of my best pipes, too. Well, I have to send it for repair. I wish I could repair the mess you've made of your life as easily.
All right, I made a mess of my life, but that's over now. Barry's dead, and that's over.
And I mean to keep you from making another. Now, you listen to me. Roger's the man for you. He always has been. And why you didn't marry him years ago...
Oh, you know why? I wanted a husband I could live with, be with. Not a wanderer like you. I saw what happened to Mother because of you. The emptiness, loneliness. And I made up my mind it would never happen to me. Fari was no bargain, as it turned out, but he stayed at home.
So does Roger now. He runs his safaris from an office in New York.
That disease you picked up in Borneo, it's just making you see things in a warped way, a distorted way. You're not yourself.
You think it's crazy of me to change my will? It's crazy of me to hope that you'll persuade Roger to get a divorce and marry you. That what I want so much, the two people I love most in this world, should make it together. If I haven't got a prayer, it'll happen.
Well, it won't. I'm sorry. But it won't.
It will. I want...
You can't always have what you want.
You're wrong. I always have, and always will. Till the day I die. Midnight. It's nearly midnight. Jackie, where's your mother?
I told you. She's locked herself in her room.
And I told you I want her here in this living room at midnight. Go get her.
She won't unlock the door. She feels safer locked in her room.
If you won't go and get her, I will. Weak as I am, I'll go up there and break the door down. I want her here.
Give it another try, Jackie.
All right.
And tell her I'll come up and break the door down. And you go get that piece of fluff you married. I want her here, too.
That little piece of fluff I married is probably fast asleep. And Trev, I'm not waking her.
You will do as I
say. She's had a rough time since we got here this morning. If I'd known what we were heading into, I wouldn't have come, let alone bring Ginny. She went to bed after dinner, and that's where she's going to stay.
All right. You know, that's the one thing I always liked about you, Raj. You never fail to stand up to me.
You take a lot of standing up, too.
Not anymore. Hand me that rack of pipes, will you? The one with the church wardens.
Church wardens? Oh, the ones with the long stems.
Yes.
They're beautiful, Trev. They really are. Any practical reason for the extra long stems?
Well, sure, they cool and filter the smoke. Longer the stem, the better. Oh, you finally decided to join us.
You decided, Trevor. Why are you so determined to have me here in this room at midnight?
Elizabeth, why were you so determined to stay in yours?
To put it plainly, so you couldn't kill me.
You've eaten no dinner? You've had nothing to drink all
day? Cut down the chances of your poisoning me the way you poisoned Fari. I locked myself in my room to cut the chances down even further. But, well, here I am. You wanted me here, in this room, so you could murder me. And I'm sure that when the drum clock strikes at midnight, you will. Oh, I don't know, but you will.
It's never occurred to you, I suppose, that I want you here so I can protect you.
Protect me?
Is that so hard to believe?
Oh, very hard. In fact, impossible. Well, less than a minute now to midnight. Roger.
Yes, Elizabeth?
Goodbye. I want you to know that, like Trevor, I too have always been very fond of you. Respected you. Hoped you and Jackie would marry. But I also want you to know that you couldn't have done better when you married Virginia. She's a fine girl, Roger. Just the kind of wife you need. Goodbye, Roger.
Elizabeth, you're sounding as if you were going to your execution.
In a way, that's what it would be.
Nonsense. You're not going to die. You're standing here in this room, as healthy a woman as I've ever seen. You and we've let Fari's death overshadow everything, warp our thinking, make us expect death. But look around you, Elizabeth. Where could you possibly find a more home-like scene? A scene that ought to reflect contentment rather than anything else.
Contentment?
I mean, look around. The fire blazing in the fireplace. Trev polishing his pipe. The friendly warmth of an old house where...
Midnight. Jackie.
Mother.
Let me hold you.
Mother, you're not going to die.
You can't. I am. I know it.
Elizabeth, this is nonsense. It's ridiculous.
Trevor. I'm waiting.
What do you mean? Waiting.
For you to kill me. Murder me.
If I murder you, Elizabeth, it'll be the neatest trick of the week.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, Mother. Oh, Mother!
I tried to catch her, but... No, no.
Jackie, stand back. Let me. She's dead.
But how? How? One moment she was alive and the next dead. Raj, what killed her? What killed Sari? What?
What? How? Do you know? Have you figured it all out? As I told you, you have all the clues I have, and I've figured it out. Well, I think I have. I'll be back shortly for Act 3.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
You feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk. Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead. Its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk. Catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free.
Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Now Elizabeth Costaine is dead, mysteriously struck down, instantly killed as her son-in-law Forrest Prescott was only the day before. Now, the following morning in the guest room occupied by Roger and Virginia Campion.
No, Virginia, I've made up my mind. We're leaving.
Not if you plan to take me to New York and then return here.
I won't be coming back. I never expected anything like this when I agreed to help Trevor straighten out his affairs.
Oh, but Roger, you're such old friends.
I'm not so sure of that, Jenny. To be Trevor Costain's friend, you have to be friends on his terms. Oh, he likes me, sure. He values my friendship up to a point. But that's because I always did the job he wanted done, and I never crossed him.
He must have been a hard man to live with.
He hasn't changed any, even with his death only a few weeks, months away. He's still demanding and getting what he wants. He's still riding roughshod over everyone in his path. I have got a strong suspicion that that's why Fari and Elizabeth were murdered. They got in Trevor's way.
Then you really think...
I'm almost sure of it. Now, there are only four of us left in this house now. There's you and me and Jackie and Trevor. Now, you and I certainly aren't murderers, and Jackie wouldn't kill a gnat if she could avoid it. No. It's got to be Trevor. What I can't figure out is how he killed them.
What's that? Oh, I thought all the police had left.
Oh, it's the last car heading out of the driveway now. Come on, Ginny, let's get these bags packed. I want to be heading out of that driveway, too. And just as soon as possible.
Father, will you please stop polishing that damn pipe and listen to me?
What do you want, Jackie?
The police have just left. I
I wondered if you'd like a cup of coffee.
Give me a drink.
No, you're not supposed to drink.
I know what I'm not supposed to do.
All right. Whatever you say.
And hand me those pipe cleaners.
Here you are. Here's your drink.
Thanks. Good, good. I'll miss this fine old Scotch when I'm gone. One consolation, though. Roger always enjoyed it, too. And it'll all be his when I've kicked the bucket.
You willed it to him? Your supply of Scotch?
No, of course not. I meant all of this will be his.
I don't understand. You said you willed everything to me.
Well, I did. Maybe I shouldn't have said this will all be Roger's. I should have said yours and Roger's. Naturally, after you're married.
Married? Father, I told you yesterday I'm not marrying Roger. For one thing, I don't love him anymore, and he doesn't love me. And for another, he's happily married to Virginia.
For as long as she lives.
As long as she lives?
As long as... Oh, come in, Raj. Come in.
Trev, Jackie.
Did you and Ginny get any sleep?
Not much. Dozed an hour or so.
How about some coffee?
It's a good idea.
And what would you like for breakfast?
Just coffee. You'll be okay.
And what about Ginny?
Coffee will be enough for her, too. We want to get an early start back to New York.
Back to New York? We haven't even started on my paper, my record.
I know, Trev, but...
But what?
Trev, if I'd known what I was walking into when I came here, and known what I was walking Ginny into, I'd never have come.
Oh, yes, you would. You never disobeyed me. Stood up to me, yes. When the chips were down, you did what you were told.
I was your second in command then, and that was years ago.
Oh, not so many. Two, three.
But busy, busy years, Trev. I've got my own business now, my own life to live, and to be plain, I don't take orders from anybody anymore.
Why, you ungrateful...
Now, just a minute, Trev. I was more than willing to come here and spend as much time as it took to straighten out your affairs. I felt I owed you that.
The least you owed me, the least.
Maybe. But what I don't owe you is putting my life, or Ginny's, on the line for you.
You mean Farry's death? Mother's?
Yeah, and who's next? I've got a feeling that no one is safe in this house.
A feeling? Or a suspicion?
Same thing, Trev.
Not exactly. Feeling there may be another death is one thing. Suspecting who might be behind the deaths is another. You suspect me, don't you?
Yes, Trev, I do.
Well, I guess the time has come to tell you that your suspicion is correct. 100% correct.
You did kill
me. Oh, you suspected me too,
but
did you?
But it's impossible. You hardly have strength enough left to stand on your feet. To walk a few steps.
Wrong. Oh, I'm weak, all right, but not as weak as I pretended. See?
Then you were able to take the shrunken heads from that clock.
And put one on Forey's pillow? And the other on Elizabeth's?
But even so, I still don't see how you killed them exactly on the hour. Forey at 7. Mother at midnight.
How did you manage that, Trev?
My little secret.
Some sort of slow-acting poison? A poison that you were able to time to the minute?
No, but, oh, a small matter. All that matters to me now is that you and Roger marry.
You're out of your head.
Father, you're sick. Right now, you're overly tired. You're exhausted. You're a little mixed up.
Crazy. Say it. You said it yesterday. Say it again. Crazy. But sane or crazy, the two of you will do as I wish. Obey
my final order.
No way, Trev. I love Virginia. I'm married to Virginia. I'll stay married to Virginia.
You can't very well stay married to a corpse, Raj.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Why, no more than what is stated in the marriage vows. Till death do us part. And death is going to do just that in a few short minutes. When I kill Virginia, as I kill Forey and Elizabeth.
Trev, you've gone crazy. Ginny and I are getting out of here and fast.
Don't move.
What?
I said don't move. Try, and I'll kill you where you stand. And be warned, Raj, I can do it. Jackie?
Yes?
Get Virginia. Bring her here.
Father, I...
Do as I order you.
But I...
Do you want him to die now, before your eyes?
Jackie, no.
I'd better do what he wants, or he will kill you, Raj.
Get her in here, Jackie.
No need. I'm here.
Ginny.
I heard every word he said. He will kill you, Raj. Unless you let him kill me.
Let me kill you? He can't prevent me.
What I mean is, it's my death you want. Not his. I don't know how you do it. But go ahead. And do it. Kill me.
Ginny, you're out of your mind.
I love you, Raj. Too much to see you die.
Answer that, Jackie.
Hello? Yes, Dr. Dodd. It's for you, Father.
You talk to him. I can't at the moment.
Oh, Father can't come to the phone, Dr. Dodd. Could you give me... Oh, I see. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him.
Well?
The poison that killed Forey. And Mother, too. I guess. The New York police identified it. Carrari.
Carrari? So, that's how you did it.
What is Carrari?
It's a poison used by New Guinea headhunters to kill their victims, kill them instantly.
How?
With darts, thorns, dipped in the stuff, shot through blowguns.
Yes, but how could Father... Oh, good Lord. Oh, Lord. The pipes. The pipes. You've sat there polishing and cleaning, blowing through the stems to clear them, you said. But blowing a poison dart through them when you wanted to.
The stem of a pipe makes an excellent blowgun. Especially the very long stem of a church warden like this one. And the thorn inside this stem, a thorn dipped in curare, kills instantly. Virginia?
Yes.
Doesn't hurt, Virginia. All you feel is a little sting when the thorn pricks the skin. Second later, you'll be dead.
Roger?
I warned you.
Drop it, Trev. Drop that pipe stem or blowgun or whatever you call it. I don't see anything funny.
You standing there holding that Maasai war spear over your head, ready to throw it. You look a little silly, Raj. You're not exactly the Maasai warrior type.
I know how to throw one of these things, and you know I do. You've seen me do it.
In Africa, yes. Those Maasai spears fascinated you. But you practiced every day. Got quite good, too. But not good enough to put that spear through me before I blow this dart into your wife.
Not you. I'm not going to throw it into you. I'm going to throw it into her.
Me?
Kill Jackie?
You leave me no choice, Trev. You love your daughter. You love her more than anything, anyone on this earth. Kill Jenny and I'll kill her.
You haven't the guts.
Yeah, try me. Jackie, take that pipe stem away from him.
Give it to me, Father.
Take it. I know when I'm licked. What are you doing?
Calling the police. All things considered, Trev, the quicker you're taken into custody, the better.
You want to move really fast? Call the morgue.
The morgue.
I gave Jackie the pipe stem, but I kept the thorn.
Father, no! Oh, Father.
Police headquarters, this is Roger Campion. I'm calling from the home of Trevor Custain. You better send someone out here. What? No, it's not another murder. Suicide.
You'll admit I did play fair with you. From the very beginning of this mystery, you had all the clues, all of them, including the shrunken heads, the New Guinea headhunters who you might have known used curare, and a clue that gave everything away. Trevor Costain's absorbing interest in his pipes. When E.G. Marshall plays fair, he plays fair. I'll be back shortly.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people. People for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Hope you enjoyed our mystery. I certainly enjoyed playing a little game with you, because that's what all mysteries are, you know, a game of wits. Oh, sure, I have the advantage. I know the answer before I start. But in fairness to you, whenever I bring you a mystery, I'll make sure you have all the clues from the start. After that, it's up to you, entirely. Our cast included William Prince, Tony Roberts, Marion Seldes, and Martha Greenhouse. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I drew my sword, ducked into the shadows, and thrust my back against the door. And to my amazement, it gave way behind my weight, opening to let me into possible safety. As it gave behind me, I heard the hound pack on my trail. I thought to close the door, not quite in order to observe what had happened outside, but as I pushed gently, of a sudden, as though it was whisked from my hands, it thudded shut. From what pursued me, I was safe. That door could stand a battering ram. But a new and strange threat had developed. I had no desire to close the door all the way shut. It had been snatched from my hands with no control from me. I was trapped.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The weather outlook calls for occasional rain tomorrow, showers tomorrow night and Wednesday.
the highs in the low 50s and lows in the low 40s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 47 degrees. The barometer holding steady, it reads 29.83.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
At KIXI, it's 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford says he's begun efforts aimed at achieving a ceasefire in South Vietnam now that President Tu has resigned. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president spoke to CBS News correspondents at the White House Monday night. Bob Schieffer was there and has a report.
The president said he had no idea whether the communists would accept a ceasefire, but he said the United States is making an 11th-hour effort to get some kind of negotiations going now that Tu has stepped down. He made it clear the effort to get talks going is still in the exploratory stage.
We're exploring with a number of governments, negotiating opportunities, but in this very rapid change with President Tu stepping down, there really hasn't been an opportunity for us to make contact with a new government.
The president again said Congress's refusal to appropriate the full amounts of aid that the administration requested for Saigon this year forced the South Vietnamese to make the recent retreat back to Saigon. But he said he would not make that a campaign issue in 1976. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington.
More on Vietnam coming up.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here with the ever-popular Mike Roy and a look at what's up on the cook thing tomorrow over the CBS Radio Net.
Well, economy is the keynote tomorrow when we make a poor guy's chowder.
Huh?
We won't go so far as Charlie Chaplin did up in the wilds of the Yukon by boiling an old boot. We got some pretty tasty things we're going to womp together into a delicious rib-sticking type of meal.
We got a few more tokens in the pot, huh? So we will have an ingredient or two. All right. All you poor guys, tune in tomorrow to Mike's Cook Thing on CBS.
American attempts to arrange a ceasefire in South Vietnam may hit a snag, as we hear now from Peter Kalischer in Paris.
The departure of President Tu from the Saigon administration does not meet in full what the Provisional Revolutionary Government, the PRG, demands before a new ceasefire and new negotiations can begin. In a statement today, the PRG representative here specified first a halt to U.S. military assistance to the Saigon government and the withdrawal of all U.S. military personnel, including those disguised as civilians. That might include Ambassador Martin, a last-ditch Tu supporter. Second, the replacement of the Nguyen Van Tu clique, not just Tu, by a government that stands for peace, democracy, etc., etc. The demand for such a coalition government had been among the key conditions Hanoi demanded and Henry Kissinger refused at the Marathon peace talks that ended 2 years ago. Peter Kalischer, CBS News, Paris.
Phnom Penh Radio has broadcast a message, the first since Khmer Rouge insurgents took over Cambodia 5 days ago. The radio says the new communist government is still getting settled in Phnom Penh, and it indicates that some fighting is still going on in the country. Fighting is reported in Laos. An official says pro-communist forces have captured a key road junction about 90 miles north of the capital. President Ford said Monday night that he has made no firm policy decisions on steps for peace in the Mideast, but that he is considering three alternatives. One is a resumption of Secretary of State Kissinger's step-by-step talks. A second is going back to the Geneva Mideast Peace Conference. And a third is combining the first two. Mr. Ford says reassessment of U.S. Mideast policy is expected to take until the end of the month. Kissinger met for more than 2 hours Monday with Israeli Foreign Minister Yigal Alon, and he said later, "We decided that each side would study how to revive the momentum toward peace in the Mideast." Now this message.
Get America rolling. Roll on, America, roll. Get on Goodyear radios. Roll on, America, roll.
Goodyear wants America on radios to help lower the cost of driving. Save 30% off the regular price on Goodyear Steel Guard radials or custom tread radial tires.
Get on Goodyear radials. Save America, save.
Now through Saturday at participating dealers and Goodyear service doors.
Roll on, America, roll.
Here's a riddle. Name a giant that lives in the ocean but can't breathe underwater. A giant that sings songs but has no vocal cords. Give up? It's a whale. One of the most fascinating giants that ever lived. And what's more, these giants have enormous brains and impressive intelligence. Let's use some of ours to save them from extinction. A message from the National Audubon Society and its local chapters.
A fire swept through a barn near the Detroit racecourse Monday night, killing at least 35 thoroughbred horses and a groom. Another 40 horses were rescued. A fire in Adelaide, Australia, destroyed part of a Salvation Army hostel early Tuesday, killing at least 7 people. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, now 6 minutes past the hour of 11.